So, what do you want to hear? Why are you here?
Today's topic. Happiness arrives when the heart is empty.
Oh. Yeah, but who can make the heart empty? It is full of sorrow, yeah? Worry, sorrow, dukkha.
Oh. Dukkha.
So how can it be happy? If you have all your children at home, you know, constantly making noise, yeah? Your child of worries, your child of pain, your child of dukkha. You're constantly running around, making you worry, yeah? How can you be happy? Just kick them out. Huh? They have nothing to do in your heart, yeah? You don't let strangers into your apartment, do you? You don't know what they are up to, yeah? Especially if they look so mean, yeah? You close the door, huh? But you don't close the door to your heart. You take everything, yeah? Starting reading the newspapers, or watching TV, take everything in. Yeah? What do they tell you on TV? You have to worry about terrorists, you have to worry about tsunamis, you have to worry about this, you have to worry about the new, yeah? Sickness, illness, virus, bacteria, yeah? The food is poison. Huh? Why don't you shut them out? Huh? Throw them out, kick them out, they have nothing to do in your heart, yeah? Huh? Ah, it's not easy, isn't it? Yeah. We worry about tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow has not yet arrived. We think about yesterday. Yesterday has gone. And by doing this, we miss this very moment. So we actually don't live. We are just either in the future or in the past. Huh? When do you start to live? Huh? When are you going to live? Huh? Has any worries of you brought you any good results? Huh? If you buy something in the shop and you don't like the results of it, you buy it again? So why do you do that to your heart? Why you take all these things in that don't have good results? I mean, it's our responsibility. It's just like your responsibility not to let somebody in into your apartment or home if you don't like him. You invite him the first time and you see he makes a mess, he makes all your apartment dirty, you have to clean for 2 hours, yeah? Next time you don't invite him in. But we constantly invite these things in, yeah? We read the newspapers, we watch TV, yeah? And all these worries come on to us, yeah? And we take them on. Why? Don't you have enough things to do just right now? Why to worry about what is happening on the other side of the world? Yeah? Even why to worry what is happening 100 kilometers from us? It's not here. We cannot help. Yeah? If there is a lake and they see you, yeah? I mean it's just a minute away. And they see somebody drowning, I can run and pick him out, yeah? Yeah? I can help, yeah? If I know somebody is 20 or 100 kilometers away, drowning, what can I do? Nothing. I hope there are people there, you know, who will help you. Yeah? So what are the worries worth, yeah? About what is happening over there? Why worry about yourself. Worrying about others leaves us completely calm. Yeah? We think about others, yeah, and that time we don't think about ourselves, what is going on in our heart. Yeah? What are we doing? What good are we doing? What bad are we doing? We don't notice because we worry about that other people are doing bad things. While we intend to do bad things. Yeah? But we don't notice it. We are not aware of it. Yeah? What is so nice about the future? We can dream. Oh, tomorrow will be nice, yeah? I say something, yeah? If today is shitty, you know, tomorrow will be shitty as well. If today is good, tomorrow might be good, yeah? If this moment is good, the next moment is probably good, yeah? If this moment is shitty, the next moment will be probably shitty as well. So why to worry about the future? I mean, if you are Buddhist, if you understand the concept of Buddhism, why don't we rely on our karma? Whatever I have done, be it good or be it bad, will come back to me. So whatever I will receive, I have done. Isn't that easy? You could live such a worryless life. Are you happy when you worry so much? Huh? Ask yourself. Yeah? We have a right to happiness. Yeah? And happiness arises here in the heart. Yeah? If you know there's a secret room in your house, yeah, where you experience happiness, I mean, you try to break in. Yeah? There's a secret in our heart. And all what we need to do is open the door. And then we find it. We lost the key. Huh? We have lost the key to our heart. So does that mean we are heartless people? People with no heart? Just people with a mind? Just robots acting? Look at your life. You get up in the morning, you go to work. When you come home, you cook. Look after your children if you have some. And then go to bed. The next morning you do the same thing. Yeah. And you will do that until you die. And especially mothers worry about their children, even if they are 50 years old. Have you eaten enough? Have you slept well? Are you not sick? I find it quite funny, yeah? I mean, my mother was 92 when she died. But even with 90, she was worried about her grown-up son. If he has enough to eat. If the children go out of the house, let them go. They are individual personalities. They are not your property. Yeah? And you've noticed, you might have noticed that they have their own mind. Yeah? That they have other ways of thinking, yeah? They have other ideas. Yeah? All what you did is 15 years or 20 years looked after them and got them on the right path, or what you thought was the right path, and then just let them go. Yeah? It's not our property. Yeah? We forget that there is a property that we have to look after. It's our own heart. Yeah? And And that's why we like to worry about so many things in our life, yeah? We never worry about ourselves, yeah? We worry about our partner, about our children, about the future of Malay or whatever, yeah? Or the future of the world. If we are here within our heart, there's all the things that we need. I mean, who doesn't want to be happy? Yeah? Hands up. Nobody, yeah? So, where do we find happiness? In our heart, yeah? So why don't we go look for? All we need to do is just out every thought, every memory. Replace it with the word Buddha. Or replace it with the attention on the breath at the tip of the nose. And then we become happy. I mean, have you ever seen where is all the worries coming from? Thoughts. Where's loneliness coming from? Thoughts. Yeah? Where's dukkha or suffering coming from? Thoughts. Where's future coming from? Thoughts. So check out the thoughts and you're happy. That is the key to the heart. Everything that comes into the mind we replace with the Buddha or with the attention on the breath. Yeah? That's how we get calm, that's how we find happiness. Yeah? Yet it's so difficult. I mean, running to the next shop and buying an ice cream is much easier. But this kind of happiness doesn't last very long. Yeah? 5 minutes, it's gone. And it doesn't give us the satisfaction than the satisfaction that is in the heart. The happiness that is actually in the heart is supreme to the happiness that we can find with anything in the world. Yeah? Even if we find the best partner, yeah, the happiness cannot compare to the pure happiness that sits there in our heart and waits for us, you know, to drink from it. Every now and then it comes, drink from me, yeah, but we don't listen to it. Here I am. Yeah? Here I am the real. Yeah? This all out there is just fake. But we run in our life, you know, always for outside things. Yeah? Just look a day, you know. Have a look at one day of your life. Yeah? And then just look what you do. Yeah? And it's always outwards. Outwards. Yeah? I need to buy this. I need to buy that. I need to do this. I need to do that. Yeah? Malay is a hot country, so how often are you washing your body? At least once a day? Twice a day sometimes, yeah? Because the body is not, it gets dirty. That's why we wash it. It starts to smell. Sometimes really bad, yeah? When is the last time that you washed your heart? Never. Can you imagine that stink of your heart that has never been cleansed? All your life you just put in. I mean, think about it, you know, in your kitchen, yeah? Today you put lettuce, tomorrow lettuce, you know? Don't you think it will rot? There? And have you ever smelled rotten vegetables? It's disgusting. Or rotten meat, it's even worse. Now think about it in your heart. You just put in. And it rots there away. I mean, the moment you open it, oh, it must be disgusting smell. But we can't smell it, that's why we don't care. Yeah? If we could smell it, I mean, we would care. We would cleanse our heart every day, you know, scrub it, yeah? Just like you scrub your body, yeah? If it stinks, you know, I mean, you start scrubbing it. You don't like the smell, do you? No. But with our heart, we don't notice that. But there are actually beings, you know, who live above us in that heavenly realm that see the stink of our chitta. And they say they don't like to come close to these people who don't cleanse their heart, who are full of kilesas, who are full of bad things, who are not living within the five precepts. They see it. We don't see it. What we don't see, that doesn't exist for us. That's what physics tells us, yeah? That's what our society believes. I mean, ask your grandparents, you know, I mean, they still believed in ghosts and still believed in spirits and things like that. And some of them still do. We open our eyes, we don't see anything, so they don't exist. Yeah? We don't see our heart, so it doesn't exist, yeah? Oh. I mean, get hold of a shovel, you know, and throw out all this garbage from your heart, yeah? And you feel lighter, yeah? You feel light, you know, you feel like, you know, you can lift into the air. If the heart is light, you know, if it doesn't have any worries, it can live any day, yeah? I mean, whatever happens, it is happening. Don't we want that, yeah? Don't we long for that, yeah? If we could buy our way out of freedom, we do that, you know? I mean, we would work hard, you know? If it costs 1 million to get rid of that, yeah? I mean, we would work very hard, yeah? You don't have to spend any money on that, yeah? But you have to spend some effort on it. Cleanse the heart in the morning, half an hour of meditation, 40 minutes of meditation. If you start new, 20 minutes, yeah? And if you experience 1 hour of meditation in the morning, 1 hour in the evening, yeah? It's 2 hours. You still have 22 hours a day to do whatever you like. 22 hours, yeah? And if you're only 30 minutes, you still have 23 hours. We can't even 5 minutes. The kilesas won't give us 5 minutes of our time. They want 24 hours for their play. Yeah? That's why it's so difficult to just to sit down after 10 minutes. Oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. Yeah? Huh? Give me a break, yeah? Tell them, give me a break. Yeah? For God's sake, give me a break. Yeah? No, they won't. They are just like children. If you have children, you know, you go shopping with them and they want something, they don't let go until they get it. Hmm? They cry, they do everything, you know? And every mother knows that. Yeah? But if you're tough with them, they stop crying. But can you bear that shrill cry of the children, you know, if they want something? Yeah. The kilesas have a cry that is much more shrill. Yeah. And that's why we stop. Yeah. Oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. Oh, I have forgotten this, I have forgotten that. And then all our practice is gone. Yeah. We get up, yes. That's not the way how we find happiness. Huh? Sit down, yeah, and say, for 15 minutes I don't move, yeah? Or for 30 minutes I don't move, yeah? No matter, even if the house is on fire, yeah? Can you do that? If you can do that, then you will find happiness, huh? If you can't do that, you won't find happiness. Sit down, yeah? Cleanse the heart. Put your attention always, yeah? Back to the breath. Yeah? No breath coming in, know that the breath goes out. Now, that the Buddha, yeah, I mean, if you do Buddha, yeah, close your eyes, it's important. We don't want to see anything. Close your eyes, yeah, and do the breath meditation. It's called Anapanasati, it's the teaching of the Lord Buddha. Yeah. Buddha is the teaching of Nupuman, yeah, the founder of the first tradition in Thailand. He said, you know, I mean, it is easy. I mean, actually, he came about it, you know, because people always wanted to have some amulets against ghosts. So they always came and bothered him about this. They were so afraid. I mean, it was 100 years ago, yeah. I mean, there were still lots of ghosts in these realms, and people were afraid of these ghosts, yeah. So he thought, what shall I do? Yeah. So I give them Buddha. Yeah. So instead of giving them an amulet, he gave them something to help themselves. He said, if you repeat Buddha, yeah, the ghost cannot come in. And then they tried it out, and they couldn't come in. They can only come in if your mind is not stable. Then they can bother you. But if your mind is fixed on one thing, they can't come in. It's the best ghost protection all over the world. Yeah? Having a stable mind, nothing can come in. No ghost can enter if your mind is stable on something. And that's where the Buddha comes from. Amulet, ghost protection. But it also, like Buddha means the Lord Buddha, yeah? It's a nominative of Buddha. It's of Buddha, yeah? And it leads also to the heart, just like Anapanasati. But do we really want to know our heart? Do we really want to know what we stored over all these years, all this pain, all these worries, all these memories, these bad memories? Do we really want to know that? But that's what we have to do. If you want to get rid of the stink and the smell in your heart, I mean, then you have to get rid of all this garbage that's in there. Yeah? And the first thing is first to calm the mind down. Yeah? Calm it down. Close your eyes. Sit comfortable. And then repeat Buddha. You know, if you think a lot, Buddha is the best. Yeah? Because Buddha is a thought. Yeah? That automatically replaces any other thought. With Anapanasati, we have to concentrate on the nose, the tip of the nose, and always when a thought or memory comes, we go back. Yeah? But also with Buddha, you will see after 5 minutes, still thoughts are coming in. Yeah? So, I mean, you replace every thought with Buddha. And this is an important technique. Yeah? Replacing our attention with something else. We need that. It's a basic method for every kind of practice. Yeah? That we have to do on the path to freedom. When we do investigation, we need to replace. So we learn that with samadhi. Learning. You learned how to walk. Huh? Can you walk? Yeah. How long did it take? 1.5 years. Huh? You learned how to talk. How long did it take? 1.5 years. Yeah? So why can't you learn how to meditate? I mean, if you had the energy and determination of a child that wants to walk, there's nothing that holds that child back. And everybody knows that. Even if mothers or fathers don't want the child to walk, it still walks. Yeah? It goes there, tries out this, tries out that, tries out that. Yeah? Where is that energy? Where is that determination? Yeah? Because learning to meditate is nothing else than learning to walk. Yeah? It's a training. It's a physical training. Yeah? I mean, think about it. learning to think. How many years? 9 years? 14 years? 20 years? Yeah. Until we could properly think. Yeah. Remember when you were 5, you know, when your parents talked about something, you didn't understand it. So you had to learn to think properly. Yeah. You have to learn to think. Yeah. You trained it in school. Primary class until to high school. End of high school, some of them went to university. Yeah? And when they come then with their thoughts, I mean, we are amazed. You know, how can they think something like that? They all learned it. Yeah? So, why can't we learn meditation? No? We are too old. We have too much. We have too much to do. Yeah? Life is running away from us. Yeah? No matter how much you care, no matter how much you worry, in the end you will die. You take care about your body, and what is the end result? A dead corpse. So take as little as possible, take of care of the body and take as much as possible, take care of the heart. That would be the conclusion of this, yeah? We should take care of the driver of the car, not of the car. Yeah? I mean, a car, you know, you just put in some fuel, I mean, and some lubricants, huh? Some oil, yeah? Sometimes water, yeah? Just a little bit, you know, every month a little bit, you know, that's enough, yeah? For the body, just the same thing. Yeah? When you live in a monastery, you take care of the body within 2 hours. The rest is 22 hours for practice. Yeah? 2 hours sleeping, so you still have 20 hours. That's all what the body needs. The body doesn't need all these things. Eh? No. But we think. Yeah? When we look in the mirror, then we think the body needs a lot of things. Huh? What are we doing with this body? Yeah, I'm not asking only the women. Yeah, I mean the men do the same thing. Yeah, in a different way. Yeah, be honest. We try to attract other people. Yeah, with our clothing, with our hairstyle. Yeah, with our makeup. Other people shall see us as beautiful or interesting. Yeah? If you're not really beautiful, then at least interesting. Yeah? And that's what we want to make up. Yeah? So we put on a show. I mean, the men the same way. Yeah? Huh? They put in the nice suits, you know, yeah? Or greased hair, or whatever, you know, whatever women like. Huh? Or muscle building, or whatever. Yeah? Just the same way. Yeah? Just a different style. But how much money, energy are you wasting on this? Yeah? Going to the hairdresser. Yeah? Dressing up your hair. Yeah? When the hair falls in your soup, do you like it? Huh? You find it disgusting. When you wash your hair and it is down in the sink, why? Ask yourself why. Do we really like our hair? Or do we just like the form of our hair? Nice flowing hair, you know, or short hair, or whatever. The body, how do we dress? Have a look in the mirror and then look. Have a look. Why do I dress like this? Ask questions. Yeah? Sometimes you have to ask questions. Yeah? Who are you who look back at me? Huh? Why you? Why don't we need to attract other people? Because we are lonely. Yeah? Have you ever found somebody where we don't feel this loneliness? No. Even within a partnership we feel lonely. Even in a good partnership. But less. Yeah? Because we have a lot of distractions within the partnership. Yeah? But we still feel lonely. So the partner cannot give us everything that we need. Because our heart is split. It is separated. It's separated from reality. And that's all what we need to do, or what we would need to do, is to reconnect it. And then no matter if we are alone or with hundreds of people or just with one person, we would be happy. We never would feel lonely again in our whole life, yeah? And how is this loneliness, I mean, hunting people, yeah? The fear of being alone, yeah? When I'm old age, yeah, and I'm alone, you know, who takes care of me, yeah? When we are not alone, I mean our heart, when our heart is connected, then we are not alone. So no matter what happens, yeah? We are happy. If we are with people, we are happy. If we are not with people, we are happy. If we are somewhere in the jungle, we are happy. Yeah? I mean, you're living close to a jungle. You have termites here? Have you seen the work of termites? I mean, sometimes, you know, even if you have somewhere a column or, you know, a beam, yeah, it looks perfect. You just touch it and it crumbles. From outside, you all look perfect, yeah? From inside, the termites called kilesas have eaten you all up, yeah? What are the kilesas? It's our desires, it's our hatred, it's our discomfort, yeah? It's our worries, yeah? They eat us up, you know, just look at yourself, yeah? What is there inside, you know, that vibrates, is happy, is content, yeah? So they've eaten you up, yeah? And the Lord Buddha saw that, you know, it's not only, you know, it's not only you who sit here. I mean, worse are the people who don't even think about, you know, spiritual development. They have nothing, you know, even their outside is, you know, already started to fall apart. That is the real enemy. It's not our partner that is the enemy, it's not our colleagues that they are the enemy, it's not our boss that is the enemy, it's not our government, yeah? The enemy lives within us, you know, and eats, feeds on us. Yeah? And it's called kilesa. As Malaysian, you can think of the British have come back, but they have come, this time they have not come back outside, they have come back inside to govern you, yeah? To colonize you. To bleed you out. That's what they did. Every country they went into, you know, they bled out. That's what colonialism is all about. Yeah? But we call it, you know, in Buddhist terms, we call it the kilesas. Yeah? They bleed us out. Yeah? Just if you close your eyes and if you try to meditate, anybody who has tried it has noticed that there is a little voice in our ears that tells us, yeah? What to like, what to do, what not to do, yeah? How I am, who I am, yeah? They constantly tell us who I am, yeah? I'm not like this, yeah? Yes, I'm like that. Yeah? But most of the time they are really demanding. You should do this, you shouldn't do this, you should do that, you shouldn't do this. Yeah? Now think about this voice that is in your ears as your partner. How long would you be together with this person? Huh? They constantly demands, yeah? Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, yeah? How long? How long would you bear such a person? 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, and then you would kick him out, yeah? Since our birth, we have that voice in our ears. We have not yet kicked it out. Kick it out. And then you're at peace. Huh? I like this. I want this. Huh? It's worse than any little child. It never stops. Yeah? A child, when it sleeps, at least it stops. Yeah? But this voice never stops. Huh? It comes out in our dreams, you know, and makes horror dreams or whatever. Yeah? And then we worry in the morning about this dream. Why don't we worry about all the thoughts we have during the day? It's the same thing. Yeah? Does it have a meaning? Huh? Just the same nonsense as that all the thoughts that come into our mind. Yeah? 95% of them are complete nonsense. Huh? Chuck them out, you know, and then get some rest in the mind. Yeah? But we have to do something. Yeah? And this kind of training, we are not used to it anymore. Yeah? I mean, with 3 years or 2 years, I mean, we started to learn to walk. With 4 years, we started to learn to talk. Yeah? That's where we had the determination. Yeah? I mean, we wanted to program this robot. Yeah? It should do what we wanted. Yeah? It's just like the driver, you know, it has to learn how to drive a car. Yeah? You remember that? Yeah? Maybe you remember that. Maybe if you go back in the past, you remember how desperately you were to walk. You got up, you fell over, you hurt yourself, you got up again, you fell over again. And you did that for how long? 1.5 years. Very patient, very patient. If you would do meditation like that, I mean, within 1.5 years, I mean, you would all be perfect meditators. Huh? But now we are old, oh, so old, yeah? We can't do that anymore. We don't have this determination anymore, yeah? We have the determination to build a house, you know. I mean, now the apartment is too small. We need a bigger apartment. Now the car is too small. We need a bigger car, yeah. For this, I mean, we can work, you know. We know how to work because it is automatic, yeah. We hopefully get our check every month, yeah. And so we just go, yeah. Five days per week, you know, we go to work, yeah. And then we can think of what we do with the money. But does that lead to happiness? Look at the people who are rich. Does that lead to happiness? Yeah? They have more worries about their money, where their money goes, yeah? Or if their money diminishes. Yeah? It's better to have no money, then you don't have to worry about it. Yeah? You want to keep your heart locked all the time, yeah? Don't you want to get a little bit closer to your heart? Huh? Don't you want to open it up, yeah? And to find the happiness. To find the peace. I mean, I bet every one of you, you know, once in a while sits out, I just want to have my peace. Yeah? I just want to have the peace of mind. Yeah? It's there. All what you need to go is in there. I want to find happiness. Yeah? All what you need to do is go into the heart. That's where the happiness is. That's where all the things reside. They're in our heart, it's not outside. Yeah? How stupid are we to run after all these images, yeah? No? I'm in the citta, project something outside. And then we run after that projection. Have you ever seen a slide projector? People love to see that. Yeah? But they never look, you know, where it is in. Yeah? It's in our heart, this slide. Yeah? And whatever we see, you know, it's projected out from this heart. Yeah? And then we run after that. How stupid. Why don't we go inside? That's where it all is. That's where it originates from. No? Not there. No? The hate is not from the person that makes us hateful. The hate is there in the heart. It comes out here and latches onto that person. Love, the same thing. It comes out from here and latches onto any kind of person. They're just close enough. Yeah? And then after a few years we realized that wasn't the right person. Yeah? We fell for somebody. Yeah. We fell for his illusion. We make an illusion. Yeah? We show ourselves. I mean, just think about when you meet a new person, how do you introduce yourself? Do you say, I'm bad in this way, I'm bad in that way? Yeah? Or don't you show all your good sides? Yeah? Of course we do that. Yeah? We show all your good sides. Don't you think the partner does the same thing? The one that you meet? He shows all his good sides. So you go into a partnership, and then after a while you realize, oh, he has not only this good side, he has also bad side. And the other person realizes the same thing with us. And then we tell our partner, you disappointed me. Huh? No, we didn't show him the reality. Yeah? That is, if the partner says, you disillusioned me, then you could say, great, you know, I took an illusion from you. You lived in an illusion, and that's what we are actually doing. We live in an illusion that we are like this, you know, and that the other people are like that. Neither are we like this, nor are the other people like that. Yeah? We have an illusion, we have a dream, we have a fantasy about the other person. Think about that. Yeah? I mean, some of us, you know, have gone through a long relationship. So, I mean, they know. No? We will see, we will meet all sorts of sides of this other person. Yeah. I mean, if it is a good relationship, that's fine. You know, I mean, if there is trust on both sides, you know, that's fine. You know, it gives us some hope in our life. Yeah? Gives us some basis, you know, some hope. Yeah? But if not, if there's the trust, if there's no trust, I mean, it can be hell. Yeah? But it's all upon us, you know, I mean, to make this work or not to make it. You come home from work, you know, I mean, your partner's at home and you want to have some comfort. Yeah? You want your partner to be comforting, yeah, because you went through a hard time. You don't tell your partner what you went through, yeah. You just want him, you know, to be comforting. You don't know yourself what is comfort at this moment, yeah. And then you accuse him. You don't understand me, huh? You don't understand me. I mean, if the partner would be clever, would ask. Do you understand yourself? Do you know what you want right now? I can give you whatever you want. No, you don't want that, you know? You want that to find the other person to find it out. Isn't that the way it is? No? I went through quite a few relationships myself, so I mean, I've seen it, yeah? I've seen it at work, yeah? And it can make, you know, it can drive a relationship insane. Yeah? You constantly ask the other person to understand us, but in reality. Ask yourself, do you understand yourself? Now you want this, the next moment you want something else. And how should the partner know what you want in this moment? Huh? He just has to know, you know? He has to be a magician. Yeah? He has to know us better than we know ourselves, huh? Where is that? Is that fair, yeah? But the other partner does it the same way, you know? When he comes home, he expects something, you know? He doesn't know himself what he wants, yeah? And then we have to be there for him, yeah? It's unfair because we have wrong expectations of the other person. The other person is not a seer that knows exactly at every moment what we want, yeah? Because we don't ourselves know what we want, yeah? The moment we express something, you know, we already want something else. No. You have noticed that? If not, watch it, yeah? I mean, just look through a day, yeah? Watch a day, you know, and see it for yourself, yeah? It's not that I'm talking there from not knowing, yeah? I've seen it all, yeah? And I got fed up with this much. Because I didn't know who I am. I didn't know who I was, yeah? And I wanted to know who I am, yeah? Who am I? This moment I'm sad, the next moment, you know, I'm happy. Yeah. I ask myself, are you now sad? Are you happy? This is a contradiction, happiness and sadness, yeah? Who are you? Yeah? Why do you associate with these things that do not belong to you? When you say there's sadness, okay, there's sadness. When you say there's happiness, there's happiness, yeah? So, I mean, rain and sun, yeah, doesn't come at the same time. But we cannot make it rain and we cannot make the sun come. We cannot make the sadness go away and we cannot make the happiness come. So how can you say it's me? It's mine. It belongs to me. How can you say that? I feel like that. Yeah? And the next moment you feel like this. Yeah? I mean, if you're unhappy, you know, change it. You know, if it's your feeling, then change it to happiness. Yeah? Just like a book, you know. Take a book from the shelf. No, I don't like to read it. Take the next one. Ah, yes, I like to read it. Yeah? Just replace the book that you don't like with the book that you like. Yeah? That's where you can do it. Yeah? Because you have acquired these books. They are in your possession. But your feelings are not in your possession. Have you noticed that? Yeah? So how can you say I'm this feeling? Huh? The thoughts are not in your possession. How can you say I'm this thought? Hmm? Ideas are not in your possession. How can you say I'm this idea? I have this opinion. Yeah? I mean, look 10 years back. What kind of thoughts did you have? What kind of ideas did you have? What kind of opinions did you have? And now what kind of, you know, how different are they now? So who are you? The person from 10 years ago? The person now? Or the person in 10 years? Huh? Then look 20 years back. Yeah? Then look when you were still young, 20. Yeah. I mean, our world, you know, our world view was completely different. We wanted different things. Yeah? We dreamed of different things. So who are you? Good question, huh? If you're not your thoughts, if you're not your memories have changed, huh? And the thoughts have come. All these thoughts of worries, all these thoughts of sadness, all these thoughts of loneliness. Did we invite them? Hello, come in. Yeah, no, they just came up. Huh? Just like the clouds pass by. And when the cloud has passed by, something else appears. Yeah. It's just like a watching a movie. I mean, you can't make it stand still. It just goes, goes, goes. Next scene, next scene, next scene, next scene. And that's what's happening in our lives. Yeah? And now there's an interesting thing. Yeah? The next time, when you go to the movies, watch yourself. Who is sitting in the seat watching the movie? You will notice that you go in the movie starts, and you only will realize the moment it's the end that you will get up from your seat. You live in something that is called an illusion. Hollywood dream factory, or a dream. But imagine how closely you live in this dream. You cry, you laugh, you get angry, and sometimes you even want to change the script of the movie. How stupid is that? When we look at this from this point, how stupid is that? We know it's a movie. We get excited, we get horror, yeah? And now you close your eyes and you see the same movie. But this movie lasts a little bit long, yeah? But it has lots of different scenes, yeah? It changes from a horror movie in a love movie, from a love movie in a sadness, yeah? And so on. It constantly changes until, you know, the death is upon us, you know, and then it stops for a while, yeah? And then the next movie comes, our next life. If we can completely get dissolved in just what we know are pictures, and in the beginning they called it moving pictures, because actually there's one picture, coming the next picture, coming the next picture, coming the next picture, yeah? And they're just moving so fast that we think there's a motion. If we can get so easily illusioned by these movies that play in the theaters, how much more must we get illusioned by our own movie that plays in front of our inner screen? We just close our eyes and there's constantly a movie around. So, and now take the example. Actually, there's in the cinema, or in the theater, there's somebody sitting there in the chair who watches this movie, yeah? Now, when you close your eyes, there's also somebody sitting in the chair watching the movie that is called Movie of Life. And this person, we have to find, we have to get back to him, yeah? And that is coming into the heart. That's a whole training of practice. Coming back to the one who sits in the seat and sees everything, knows everything. Not being taken in by the movies. Nowadays there's something even worse, you know, for all these youngsters in the internet. Yeah? It's called video games. In a movie you can't act, you just watch, yeah? In a video game you can act, yeah? How much more enticing is that? And that is much more closer to our own life. We can act. We can go right, we can go left, you know. When we go left, we see this. When we go right, we see that. That's why I call our life the video game of life. It stops for a short time when we die, and then, yeah. Just like watch the youngsters, yeah? Just on the screen says, you died, over, game over, yeah? And then what do? They play it again. Until they get to the end of it, and then they change to another one. Yeah? And that's exactly how we live our lives, yeah? This life, you know, we didn't succeed, you know, with whatever we wanted. The next life, you know, we try to succeed until we succeeded, you know, and then, for instance, you know, somebody wants to become a good teacher, yeah, okay. One life, he gets a teacher, second life, third life, fourth life, fifth life, seventh life, and then he's perfect, and then it's getting boring, yeah? And then he wants to become a doctor. So he trains himself the next 7 lives for becoming a doctor. Then he wants to be a farmer, yeah? I mean, he doesn't want to live in the city anymore, he wants to be a farmer. Then he trains. And there's no end to the possibilities. Yeah? And we've been everything already in our lives. It's not only hundreds of lives that we have behind us, it's trillions of lives. We've played from everything. Yeah? I mean, we've been animals, we have been human beings, we have been ghosts, we have been devas, yeah? Heavenly beings, yeah? And we've been so often in hell. Because we don't understand the rules of the game. Nobody has ever explained us the rules of the game. In the rules of the games, the Lord Buddha tried, you know, to make it for the lay people very simple. Keep the 5 precepts at least, then you come back as a human being. Do not keep the 5 precepts, and then you go to the lower realms. The lower realm starts with the animal realm, the ghost realm, the demon realm, and the hell realm. Yeah? It's a simple advice. Yeah? If somebody doesn't want to go down, he keeps the 5 precepts. The other rule is, you know, if you want to go up, yeah, then you develop virtues. Yeah? The virtue of generosity, the virtue of gratitude, the virtue of respect. Then you can go up. It's too simple. It's not mystic. I mean, Buddhism must be, there must be, you know. No, it's simple. It's a game, yeah? We started this video game, nobody explained us the rules, yeah? And now the Lord Buddha comes and explains us the rules, and then we think, that it's too simple, yeah? If you take money into the bank, you know, I mean, then we get the interest, you know, I mean, that is too simple. Yeah? Cannot be that simple. The beauty of it is that it is simple. That one doesn't have to study to understand it. Even a farmer can understand it. Yeah? If he sows potatoes, he will reap potatoes. Yeah? If you sow love, you will reap love. If you sow hate, you will reap hate. I mean, that is everybody in this whole world, yeah? I mean, knows that. But we forget it. Yeah? Because the time between the sowing and reaping is too long. Huh? So we forget what we sow. Yeah? So after 6 months we don't like potatoes anymore because we had it every day. Huh? So we like rice. But then we see, oh, all these potatoes. Yeah? I don't like them. Yeah? Forgetting that we actually have sown it. Yeah? So the law of karma is that rule of the game. What you sow is that what you reap. Yeah? What you did unto other people, is that what other people do unto you? And that rule holds true for everything. So that's why probably in every language we have to say, don't do unto others what you don't want others to do unto you. Because whatever is done unto you, you have done unto others. This sentence they don't say. Because it's too harsh. They only say it as a precaution. No? But they don't give us the warning, hey, whatever you get is what you have sown. Yeah? That would be not so comfortable. Yeah? We don't like that, you know? We like to give out, but you know, we don't want to receive. But that is the rule of the game. If you don't keep it, yeah, then we have to accept the effects. Yeah? If you do something, yeah, if you cheat on somebody, you know, then we will cheat it on us. Yeah? Simple game. If we are generous, people will be generous to us. That's the law of karma. People want to become rich, yeah? What's the trick to become rich? Be generous. If you put enough money on the bank, you know, I mean, one day you will be rich. Yeah? So you have to give up something, you know, in order to get back something. Yeah? But we don't want to believe, you know, I mean, it's too predictable. Yeah? We don't like predictable things. Yeah? We like to play with luck. Yeah? I mean, luck is a nice word. Yeah? That's why we play the lottery. Yeah? Maybe I win a million. Maybe I don't have to work so hard. People who win a million, yeah? I mean, it's their karma that comes back. If they don't play lottery, it comes back in another way. So, they don't have to play to get back what they give them out. Yeah? Whatever you give, that's what you become back. But we can be clever, yeah? Just like we are clever in the world, yeah? I mean, where's the difference? Eh? We make the rules of the world, you know, also. And the rules of the world are very similar to the spiritual world, yeah? If you go to a bank, if you have $1 million and you go to a bank, then of course you look for the bank with the highest interest, huh? You don't go to a bank that doesn't pay interest, yeah? Or do you do that? No! We are greedy. We want to get something, yeah? Yeah? That's our nature, to be greedy, yeah? I mean, accept it, yeah? You wouldn't be born if you weren't greedy, yeah? And that's the same thing with the spiritual life. So if you give something, yeah? I mean, the Lord Buddha said something, if you give something, if I remember correctly, maybe the numbers are wrong, if you take care of an animal, we will get it 10 times back. If you take care of a human, we will get it 100 times back. If you take care of an Arya, of a noble being, then we get it infinite times back. That's the interest. I mean, in Thailand, they know these rules very well, so everybody is going to look out, you know, for noble beings, for Arhats, and then they give and give and give and give. I mean, yes, we are greedy, so I mean, why not, if you know the rules, you know, why not play by the rules, huh? Huh? But we shouldn't forget the others as well. Huh? I mean, I say that, but the person who sits right next to us, yeah? If he needs our help, we should help him. Not only help the people where we get the most interest, you know, because that is selfish. Because then the next life, we sit there, you know, and we see all the other people running, helping other people, yeah? And nobody takes care of us. That would be the karma, yeah? Wouldn't we? Yeah. And that is the difference to the karma that is interpreted in India, yeah? They say, you know, a caste, you know, it's a caste, you know, we shouldn't help them, yeah? But that's, yeah? I mean, if you see a beggar, yeah, and you really have the feeling he needs your help, then help him. Because otherwise, in the next life, you sit there, yeah, and the people come back, oh, no, he's a beggar, let's go. Yeah? I mean, although I gave you the very simple, yeah, solution, you know, for the rules of life, they are very, very deep. Yeah? I mean, there's hardly anybody, not even an arahant, not even a person who is free, who can see through all these different karmas that come together at one place. Because at one time, yeah, in one moment, you know, we have 16 different types of karma that come from all sorts of directions. One karma is stronger, the other karma is weaker. So actually at every moment we have 16 choices. And then we have an additional choice, and that is free will, where we can go a completely different path. that has nothing to do with our karma. If you catch it. Most of the time we don't catch it because the strongest karma. Yeah, I want this. Oops, gone. Yeah. And the more you go for your wanting, the more you go for your desires, the stronger this path of your desires become. The more you go for your hate, the stronger the hate becomes. Yeah. I always say the deeper you drive your car into the mud, the harder it is to get it out. But because it's so hard to get it out, that's why we drive it even deeper and deeper. Yeah? That's what we do now, right now at that moment. We drive it deeper and deeper, you know, we think, it's too difficult to meditate. It's too difficult to get rid of all the problems in our heart, yeah? We lost the key, yeah? We lost the key to our heart. Let's find it. There's actually a very nice, interesting Sufi story about that. Somebody has lost his key, yeah? And his house, you know, was somewhere in the dark, you know, so he went back to the marketplace, you know, looking for his key, because he lost it. Yeah? His friends came, yeah, and said, "What are you looking for? What are you looking for?" I lost my key, yeah? So all the friends, you know, maybe there are 5, 6, 7 friends, you know, were helping, searching all over the marketplace. And then one of the friends asked, "Where did you lose it?" "In front of my house." "So why don't we look here?" "Because there's light." We don't look for the key, you know, where it's supposed to be. We look where we easily can see it. That's the whole trick. The key is in our heart, the key to our heart is here. Yeah? But because it's so difficult, we look for easier ways out. Yeah? We look for satisfaction, you know, in the world. Yeah? But we should know by now that there is no lasting satisfaction. Yeah? There is no lasting satisfaction. Yeah? When you're hungry, yeah, you eat. Yeah? If you're full, you don't want to eat. There's no way that you eat, even if it is, you know, delicious, yeah? You're full, yeah? Then half an hour later, or 2 hours later, you're hungry again, then you eat again. Yeah? There's no end to this. Yeah? You can eat all your life, yeah? You can do the things that you like all your life. Yeah? And you will never get satisfied. But there's one lasting satisfaction. If you find the key to your heart, there, happiness is, it is one of our basic rights. Yeah? How much do we struggle for the rights? Yeah? I mean, in the West, the women struggled for their rights, yeah? How many, yeah? We struggle for our rights, yeah? They are here, in our heart. It's always pointing back to the heart. Here. Open your heart, and everything what you need is inside. If you have a fridge, you know, that has all the good food, you know, in the world, in the fridge, huge fridge, yeah? But you don't have the key to it. And somebody tells, "Get it." I mean, you really would try to find the key to that. Yeah? I mean, the key to the heart is a little bit invisible. Yeah? That's why, you know, the marketplace, trying to find it in the light, you know, where it doesn't is, yeah? Where it's not. It is, yeah, I mean, going back. Until the heart becomes calm. Once the heart becomes calm, it stops thinking. Once it stops thinking, it stops worrying. Yeah? And then the nature of the heart comes through. It's peacefulness, it's happiness. Or it's just joy. It can be many things. Yeah? That depends on each person's character. Yeah? Somebody is just peaceful, somebody is still, yeah? Somebody is happy. And somebody is full of joy. That's all within our heart. And there's also something else that is in our heart. It's called the loving kindness, or metta. It's there all the time. It's the love, you know, that normally a mother has for her child. I mean, a mother loves a child no matter, you know, if it's a good child or a bad child. It's still her child. And this kind of metta is within our heart. All what we need to do is look for it. And now think about it, you know, when you go back home and you start to sit 5 minutes, oh, that hurts, that hurts, that's painful, that's painful. We should stop it now, yeah. That's not the way to the heart. When you sit and meditate, don't worry about anything else than that the mind is on the object. Yeah? And for the breath, anapanasati, it is there at the tip of the nose, knowing that the breath goes in, knowing that the breath goes out. If it is the Buddha, knowing that there is the Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. Yeah? The moment the mind goes out, you know, you pull it back, and you put it back to the object. Yeah? Just pull it back. Put it back on the object, pull it back. Yeah? It's a training of a wild elephant. I mean, you have to tie it to the pole. Yeah? It tries to escape. That's what our mind does. It tries to escape, goes here, goes there. Yeah? But if you tie it really tight to the pole, it has no choice than to lie down and sleep. And that is exactly what happens, and that's why the Lord Buddha used the similar to describe our mind. The moment our mind knows it cannot escape, because we always pull it back, then it goes and lies down and sleeps. It rests. Yeah? You put your body to rest every day. Yeah? You have never rested your mind. You use it 24 hours a day for the last 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Yeah? Would you be able to work, you know, when you never rest your body? But the mind should be always active. Yeah? Doesn't need any rest. Yes, it does need rest. Yeah? And the more rested it is, you know, the more happy, the more contented it is. Yeah? If the mind is without thoughts and without memories, it's another realm. Because there is no me, there is no I, there is nobody who takes possession of the feeling, there is nobody that takes possession of the images that might come, or there is nobody who takes possession of the experience. There's just pure experience. There's nobody there. Hello? Nobody here. Yeah? And that's why it is so peaceful. Because the little child that constantly nags, wants this, wants that, has been shut off. We close the door. He cannot come in. And that's why we're happy. That's why we're content. And all what you need to do is just always put the mind back to one point. You need this one point. You need a point of reference. And that be the tip of the nose or around the nose, you know, no matter what, but somewhere in the region where the breath goes in and the breath goes out. Or you need the Buddha as a point of reference. It is important to know where the mind is. Otherwise it doesn't know if it goes up. That's why you always bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Eh? Until there is no more thought. I mean, it's the ultimate experience. Yeah. But some people still want to go to the moon or to the Mars. Yeah. What can they get there? Or they want to fly to the United States, or I mean to China or to Japan, to see this Buddha statue, that Buddha statue. I mean, what is there? I mean, the ultimate experience is here in the heart. That's where all our worries, all the future, all the past, you know, cease to exist. I ceases to exist. The thing that constantly nags on us, yeah? You've seen it when you looked in the mirror, it nags at you. Oh, today you don't look so good, yeah? Huh? Oh, today you look fine, yeah? And it soothes you the next day, yeah? Or you've grown too fat, yeah? Next at you again, yeah? But this drives us out at that time, and that is called Upachara Samadhi, yeah? Simple as that, yeah? I mean, the beauty about the Buddha's teaching is simple, yeah? It's very simple and extremely logical, yeah? You just have to understand the rules, yeah? If you turn right, that's what you see then. If you turn left, that's what you see then. Yeah? There's no mystic behind it, yeah? No hidden monsters of it. Yeah? That's what, you know, a lot of people, you know, look in religion for, mysticism. No. The Lord Buddha never taught mysticism. He taught only straight, you know, what is happening when you do this, what is happening when you do that. Yeah? If you go against the five precepts, you go down to hell, or you go in the animal realm. If you keep the five precepts, you come back as a human being. Yeah? If you develop the virtues, I mean, then you go to heaven. That's what he told us. And if you want to get out of samsara, yeah, the roller coaster of life, you like it so much, going up very slowly, you know. We can't wait to get up, yeah. And when we go down, oh, we are so happy, yeah. We cry. Yeah? Strange, isn't it? Yeah? And that's when you look at the masses of the people. I mean, they seem to be crying, trying, enjoying themselves just because they are on the way to hell. They can't get there fast enough, yeah? So they have to cheat on this, they have to deceive us, they have to do this, you know, just to get fast enough down to hell, because it must be a great place. Yeah? Most of the beings are there, yeah? Not even in the animal realm, there are more beings in the hell. In the hell, yeah? They can't get there fast enough. I mean, sometimes I do see pictures, yeah? I mean, I was walking on a stony path, you know, leading alone from the highway. And the people in the highway in nice cars, you know, in cabrios, you know, with their drinks, you know, and said, look at this person, you know, how stupid he is, yeah. I went up the hill and saw where this highway leads, you know. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. They all fell down to hell. That's what happens to most of the people, yeah? If they don't take responsibility for their lives, then. So what? You can say, so what now? Yeah. From today on, I keep the five precepts. Whatever I've done in the past will come back to me anyway. Yeah. I'll accept it. Yeah. Just like we are responsible people. You know, we accept what we do. Yeah. And then from today on, we just keep them. Yeah? It's not too difficult. Yeah. Not to lie, not to deceive others, it's a little bit more tricky, yeah? Oh. I know women have a nasty mouth, yeah? It's men do as well, but it's not as vicious as some of the women. Yeah? The bad things that they talk. I mean, I sometimes worked in a factory when I was young, yeah? With all women, yeah? What I heard there, I mean, that wasn't that. When I worked with men, I mean, it was more, yeah, I mean, it was a different kind of topic, but it wasn't as vicious. Yeah. So, I mean, keep a little bit, you know, I mean, your mouth shut, you know, think about, yeah, put on your thought before you say something, yeah. That helps keeping that precept, yeah. We try, you know, I mean, I'm sorry to say that, but you know, we think, you know, women think they are the weaker, yeah, weaker, so they have to to get back, you know, with words, yeah? Words harm more than any kind of actions. If you say a bad word to somebody, I mean, it sticks in the heart. If you hit somebody, you know, after 3 days the face is gone. Yeah, I mean, all the scars are gone and you forget it. Yeah? But the word, you know, it's also for the men, yeah? But yeah? It hurts. It can leave a deep, deep scar. So be careful of what you say. Yeah? I mean, it is one of the precepts. But sexual misconduct is the worst of all. I mean, there's no chance that, you know, if you commit sexual misconduct, I mean, you have to go to hell. There's no chance that you can't escape. Having something outside of your partnership is sexual misconduct. Having somebody, something, you know, with somebody who's dependent on you. A teacher-student relationship with sexual misconduct. A professor-student relationship with sexual misconduct. Everybody who's dependent on, and we use sexually, is sexual misconduct. Yeah? So parent-children, of course, yeah? And also, you know, human being and animals. Yeah? That's all sexual misconduct. If you're not faithful in your partnership, sexual misconduct. And now look at the world. It's number one. It's really the number one. And then you don't wonder why so many people go to hell. Keep it in bound. Raga tanha, or sexual and sensual desire, is the number one kilesa. It's the number one kilesa that makes us, I mean, it makes us mad like dogs. Mad like dogs. And the moment it comes on, I mean, we can't really cope with it rationally. It holds true for men, it also holds true for women. There's no difference between sex. So keep that. Keep it in bounds. Within a partnership, it is within bounds. Keep it at that level and you fare well. Take it outside of the partnership and you're pro. It's the strongest desire that we have. And every one of us knows it, yeah? I mean, we all went through poverty, yeah? We all know it. So keep it in bounds. And that's all what the Lord Buddha asked us. Keep the things in bounds. Keep your hatred in bounds. Keep the greed in bounds so that you don't go against the precepts and you will fare well. Yeah? And then make your heart happy. And that's the next stage. Yeah? If you keep the sila, then we can start to practice. Then we can start to develop our mental abilities. We can get calm, yeah? We can get peaceful, and we can get happy, and we can get content. Yeah? Contentment. Yeah? I mean, you can't, if you have not experienced it, you can't imagine the difference of contentment, the difference of happiness, yeah? That you experience when there is no more thought, when there is no more memory. I mean, when I went in Upachara Samadhi for the first time, I thought, this cannot be. Yeah? First of all, it lasts much longer than any kind of orgasm. Yeah? Orgasm is very short. Yeah? Doesn't last very long. But this can last for hours. And is much more satisfying, much more gratifying than anything. And I said, what do I want with all this what the world gives us? It's not lasting, it's not satisfactory, yeah? But this is something. And it is within my heart. And all what I need is to close my eyes and keep my attention onto one thing. And replace all the thoughts and all the memories with the same attention on the breath or attention on the... That's all what it is need. To get lasting satisfaction or lasting happiness. or lasting peace. It's all about existence. And then you can even go on. You can go further than that. You stick, while you're in this upachara samadhi, you still stick with the breath, or you still stick with the Buddha, until the breath stops. We always, at the beginning, we try to now to put our attention back to the point. And then, so we have the attention of the breath, so object, subject, object. Subject, object. What is going to happen when subject and object merge into one? Any idea? Everything disappears. Whatever can disappear, can disappear, cannot be us. Because what is left is that what is really us. What is really our true nature. And it's called the deep samadhi or apana samadhi in Pali. That's where you can find a preview of nibbana. Nibbana, what the Lord Buddha talks about, the freedom. I mean, I can guarantee if you go in there for the first or second time, the first thought that you have when you come out, how do I get back? That's the first thought. How can I get back? Because it is even more satisfying, more gratifying, and more nurturing than anything else. And it shows us the truth about the teachings of the Lord Buddha, the Nibbana that he talks about, the freedom. And he says everything. It's all an illusion. We live very well in this illusion. I told you the illusion that we have when we sit in a movie. We live in this movie. I mean, we enjoy it. Sometimes we don't enjoy it. If there's a horror movie playing, we don't enjoy it so much. It's a love story. We might enjoy it. Depends on how it ends. If it ends tragically, we all cry. So, and all this, we get with this simple method. But when we come out, everything is the same. So we just dived away for a moment. It can be an hour, it can be a day, it can be up to 7 days where we can dive away. Escape from this world. When we come back, everything is the same. And that's where the second part comes in. It comes in investigation. So, what do we investigate? Everything that we think is us. What do we think is us? Body. Body, 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 body. You look in the mirror, that's me. Doesn't look nice, but you know it's okay. It's me. You look at your hand, that's my hand. When you wash yourself, you look at yourself, and that's me. The body is me. So that's one of the groups. The other group is feelings. The third group is memory association. What is association? This is a cup, this is a mug, and this is a cup, whatever. This is a flask, this is a chair, this is the floor, this is the ceiling. That's association. We couldn't live without association in this. We would have to learn everything new every day, every moment. So memory is a very important part in our life. So we have three groups now. Body, feeling, memory, and now thought. And we love to play with all this. We love to think. We don't want to stop thinking. And what happens to a lot of people who train for the first time meditation, the moment the thought is gone, they think they die. No more thought. Dying. No. We're not dying. But it happens to quite a few people who meditate, and then really, they're really earnestly meditating, not knowing, what is expecting them, because it's the first time. And then suddenly thought disappears. Where's my thought? Where's me? I'm dying. Yes, of course, I is dying. The fake self is dying. Let it die, whatever can die. What stays on, I mean, stick to that. That is much more your nature. And the last thing is consciousness. These are the five groups that we have to investigate. We think it's me, mine, myself. But actually we can observe it. When you look at your hand, you say it's my hand. When you look at the hand of your neighbor, why don't you say it's your hand? It's a hand. Why is it suddenly, you know, his, and why it's suddenly yours? I mean, if I see something, it's not me. So I should do the same thing with my hand. I can see this hand, I could say, it's not me. And that's the truth of it. You don't have any power over this body. It is born, you have no power of it if it is born dead or if it is born alive. You have no power of it if it dies. It's the same thing, you buy a car, Some cars are lasting 10 years, other cars are lasting 15 years, other cars are wrecked, after 2 years. That's what we bought. We bought this body. With our merit that we've done. But we don't have any say in how long this body lasts, if it is healthy or not. Because we don't yet understand the rules. What makes a body last long is not harming any living being. In the next life we will have a long-lasting body. If you don't make other people sick, we will have a healthy body. And so on, and so on, and so on. We have to know the rules in order to live happily, even within this roller coaster of life. We have to know the rules. If you like this samsara, and lots of people like it, and I don't condemn you for liking it, you haven't yet tasted the ultimate wine or whatever you call it. You have not tasted the ultimate happiness. So how can you know that there's nothing better? But at least know the rules of the game. Know the rules of samsara. And then try to arrange yourself with it, so that you will have happy life. And don't worry so much. It doesn't help. Worrying so much. Worry about what we are doing right now. That is. Don't let anything out that is not wholesome. That is where you should pay attention to at this very moment. You should worry about what you say now, what you do now. Not worry about what is going to happen in the future. Because the future is determined right now. If you don't keep attention on what is happening right now, you will just keep the results, getting the results, and you wonder where it's coming from. This whole government, it just oppresses me. It's not anybody else that suppresses you. It's not anybody. Modern word, stress. It's you who make yourself stressed. You tell, I have to do more, I have to do more, I have to do more. I can't finish it, I can't finish it. It's you who making the stress, nobody else, If you say, I'm doing the best I can, there's no more stress. And you can't do more than you can. Isn't it? So all the stress is gone. And how are we relieved when there's no more stress? But this little voice inside makes you all the stress. So kick it out, Get rid of it for a while, And see how peaceful it could be. So, I guess with this I end my talk. If you have short questions, then I have another talk at 7 o'clock, so keep it short today,